Buck, Jim of the Buckeye Boy. Breaking news this morning. Nathaniel Hackett will be announced as the Broncos' next head coach last night. According to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, they started the process of contract negotiations with Hackett, who is scheduled to interview today with the team that he used to be the offensive coordinator for, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so Nathaniel Hackett, according to Tom Pelissero, Schefter, and the guys on the mothership, that Nathaniel Hackett will be the Broncos' next head coach. And so your thoughts on that hiring of Nathaniel Hackett? And look, he was the guy I wanted of the group that they had. I still wish that George Payton, and I think you feel the same way too about this Buckeye boy, mm-hmm. would have extended that search to include a Brian Flores,
yeah.
to include a Doug Peterson, to include those guys that have coached in the league and
proven they can win.
And yeah, Peterson with obviously taking the Eagles to a Super Bowl victory against TB12 and the Patriots. Flores, what he did in Miami.
Look, and Nat Hackett's resume includes Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. That's one of the reasons he's been a candidate for jobs. Brian Flores won with Tua Tagovailoa. And Doug Peterson won with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. You know, one guy who's not starting and another guy who probably shouldn't be starting. So those guys are proven to, and that's two different levels of winning, I understand. Brian Flores, above 500. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. That was my concern, is that you don't know how your quarterback situation is going to shake out. You have guys that proven they can get more wins than not with average quarterbacks, or a guy who a lot of his resume is built on one of the greatest ever. That was just my worry about Nat Hackett.
I will applaud the Broncos for taking this approach, though, in that it's an offensive-minded coach. Mm-hmm. The first time thing still concerns me because we've been there before. Vic, VJ, first-time head coaches. Josh McDaniels, first-time head coach. That's a concern. But at least they're in this particular chapter of the Broncos' history, acknowledging they have a defense that's capable of getting them to the playoffs. The offense has been the problem. And it wasn't terribly bad the 9-7 season after they won the Super Bowl, but you could see, obviously, you're going from Peyton Manning to Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
But you're also, that's maybe not entirely fair because you're also looking at Peyton Manning through a much different lens, a kind of shadow of himself, really, mm-hmm. in that Super Bowl winning season in 2015. That the offense has gone downhill ever since then, and part of that problem has been finding the right guy, the right trigger man, the right quarterback. And this team's only going to go as far as who they put in that spot, right? We've said that to begin with.
Right.
It's the offensive line and it's a quarterback spot. The other pieces are there. And so at least I'm pleased to see that in a league that is offensive-minded now, in a division where offense, you have to have stellar quarterback play. You have to have an offense capable of going out and scoring 25, 30 points. Mm-hmm. If you're playing the AFC West, if you're going to be a playoff contender, that has to happen for you. And this, at least on the surface, addresses that. Do I wish the search would have been more than what it was, than the candidates they talked to? Sure. Are they going to miss out on it not being Kevin O'Connell? Maybe. I don't know. Kevin O'Connell, while given, you know, one of the young, bright minds in this league, the Rams offensive coordinator, part of that Sean McVay tree, maybe they're going to miss out there. Maybe they made a mistake by not giving O'Connell this opportunity. I would like to think where Nathaniel Hackett has been, the guys that he has worked with, whether it's been Rodgers or Blake Bortles, talk about two polar opposite guys in Rodgers and Blake Bortles, mm-hmm. that experience and how he was able to get Blake Bortles to have a career best year and be a competent quarterback for once. That team. One time.
In 3 years, once. And there are people who are like, oh, he did a good job with Blake Bortles. First year, 20th in passing yards. Second year, 17th in passing yards. Third year, 26th in passing yards. He did a great job with Blake Bortles. Almost got him into the top half of the league in passing yards. Almost. 17th. So close. Great job with Blake Bortles. Now, the 2017 season, everybody always points to, best rushing offense in the league.
And that helped a ton.
Yes. And Blake Bortles' rushing offense that year was at 300 yards.
Took a lot of pressure off of him.
Yes. So, and Blake Bortles, he did great with Blake Bortles. He got him almost into the top half of the league.
And a defense that was an outstanding defensive unit with Ramsey, Campbell, and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. There are warts here with Nathaniel Hackett. I'm not saying this is a hallelujah.
Right.
They hit a home run. I'm pleased it's an offensive coach. I'm pleased it's a guy that has had some experience in this league. Mm-hmm. Then there are the other things we've talked about. There are the warts about him.
I don't know if they hit the nail on the head, but I don't know that they hit their thumb either. You know what I mean?
Don't bring me the Blake
Bortles thing, because look at the numbers. He wasn't that good even when he was good, right?
It was mostly the touchdown interception ratio was really good.
Which was 21-13.
Which not really
isn't
good.
It
was,
even all that
which,
good.
Which, hey, really good. It was good for Blake Bortles. It was good.
It was more than...
And he threw for what? Close to 4,000?
3,600.
Yeah.
On 60% completion percentage.
I mean, considering what you had to work with there, I'll give Nathaniel Hackett some credit. But he also, like you said, a lot of the heavy lifting was done by the offense.
By Leonard Fournette.
I mean, by the running game, I should say. Mm-hmm. And by Leonard Fournette and what they... And that defense, they gave them great field position to work with.
All right. It was the last play schedule.
Don't forget about that. Fall asleep on that either. That's very true. All right. Cody is available, by the way.
Oh, should I call him right
now?
So
why don't you give him a call, and I'll get to the text line while you call Cody and get his thoughts about this. Let's see. From Bry Guy, really glad the Broncos hired an offensive guy. There is more to hiring him than Rodgers, and his name is Adams. Will this whole Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers thing to Denver come together? That's a possibility. Got a text from Mike this morning. Jeremy McDowell's son is a stud on the ice. CMU may need to bring Jackson in on this one. Okay. Let's see. Bronco Sarge. I come from the Wiener Schnitzel era, but the Schnitz and Los Jays fall under the only when hammered category. That is true, Bronco Sarge. I can't imagine being sober and choosing either one of them. Just talking about them has my stomach moving product. Oh. Yeah.
See, and I disagree. I'm a sober Los guy. I'm a sober Wiener Schnitzel guy. I have Los once a week. It's my post-bowling dinner, usually, on Thursday night. So I'll be there tonight, actually about 12 and a half hours from now. So, sober.
I'll be honest, Los Jays, I've never eaten there. I've never eaten at Los Jays.
So when I fill in for you, I get in here usually about an hour earlier, right? Only place that's open is the Arches and Los Jays. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, the Arches isn't really like we call fresh in the business.
Gotcha.
So Los Jays, bacon, potato, egg, and cheese burrito for breakfast. Killer. Just absolutely killer.
I'll take your word for it.
Yep.
My son, Nick. Goes there on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah.
Sings their praises.
You can trust me on food. I'm not this size on accident.
I know exactly. I know if there's anybody that in a particular category like food, you're the guy. It's a masterclass.
Drive-through food. I have a PhD.
Yeah. Yep. Masterclass.
Dr. Bo.
Maybe you should start doing that. You should have a masterclass.
I should.
On fast food and the places to go in town. Okay. Well, he's going to provide a masterclass on Nathaniel Hackett. It's time to talk Broncos football with Locked On Broncos podcast host, Cody Rourke.
Locked On Broncos host, Cody Rourke.
Here we go!
On the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right. Up bright and early today. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, thanks for coming on today. Back-to-back days of Cody Rourke. We can't go wrong with that.
No, not at all. I mean, I think George Payton threw us all a little bit of a curveball because, you know, my alarm goes off at 5 a.m. I'm up. And the first thing I do is I look and I see the notification. Nathaniel Hackett hired as the Broncos head coach. I had various text messages on the phone. I was like, oh, my goodness, here we go. It's going to be a long, long day.
Your initial reaction to Nathaniel Hackett being the Broncos' next head coach?
I think when you look at the writing on the wall, the Broncos were very impressed with Hackett's interview. And obviously they spent a lot of time with him on Monday, over 8 hours at the team facility, then some margaritas and tamales to close things off before they headed back to Green Bay. But, you know, for the Broncos, the plan, you know, with Hackett, they believe he was going to be a guy that could be a good leader for them, be a good guy that can lead the organization, not just help fix the offensive side of the ball, but also lead the everyday team-to-team dynamics there. And they also felt like, I think with Dan Quinn, that Dan Quinn was just trying to use them for leverage for the New York job. So, you know, they're like, hey, we don't want to be played around with. We want to go with who we feel like is the best candidate, and that was Nathaniel Hackett.
I want to get back to the Hackett in just a moment, and also Luke Getsy. Do you want to mention breaking news? Ben Roethlisberger making it official, announcing his retirement this morning.
Yeah, you know, for Big Ben, I think we all saw this coming for him. You know, just you know, his play has fallen off a little bit. Just some of the physical limitations. You know, he's more prone to injury in the last couple of years than he has been throughout his entire career. You know, obviously, want to wish him the best. I'll never forget that sad, you know, feeling that I felt as a Broncos fan back in 2005 in the AFC Championship game when Ben Roethlisberger led Hines Orton into a victory over Denver at a Mile High Stadium. I'll never forget that. That sucked. But you know, luckily the Broncos beat Big Ben in the divisional round when we talk about the 2015 playoff run. So it all kind of works out, and I think a Broncos country's favor. Obviously, you know, best wishes to Ben Roethlisberger, and, you know, whatever he decides to do next, I imagine we might see him getting to the media world, maybe broadcasting. So, you never know.
You never know. All right, let's get back to the Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett. So, I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion that Luke Getsy is part of this deal, comes with him to Denver to be the Broncos' OC, or is that me putting the cart before the horse on this whole thing?
Might be a cart before the horse there, because Luke Getsy, you know, a name that is thrown out, he could become the Broncos offensive coordinator. But earlier this week, Ian Rappaport had reported that if Nathaniel Hackett does get a head coaching job, they will look to promote Getsy within as their OC in Green Bay. But I think the choice would be completely up to Getsy if, you know, the Broncos do offer him that job. And if he wants to accept, I think he could. But do keep an eye on Adam Stenovich. He's the Packers offensive line coach and run game coordinator. He is set to have an interview with the Broncos, and he is expected to be a favorite as of right now for their next offensive coordinator job.
As Hackett puts together his staff, who do you see Hackett maybe bringing in to lead the Broncos defense?
Well, this morning, Mike Garofalo of NFL Network reported that one name to keep an eye on, this is actually a former teammate of Nathaniel Hackett when they played together at UC Davis, Ejiro Evero. He's the Los Angeles Rams secondary coach and passing game coordinator. He's also worked under Wade Phillips. He's also worked under Brandon Staley. So for him, he's been coaching 14 years around the NFL. He is considered to potentially be a future head coach in the NFL. He has that type of hype and potential behind him, according to personnel executives there. So you do look at bringing him in. Obviously, the Broncos can't request that until after the NFC Championship game. They'll look to do that then. But right now, he is their prime favorite candidate for the DC job in Denver.
Cody Rourke joining us on the program today, Locked On Broncos podcast host, who has a very, very busy day ahead of him with, of course, the Locked On Broncos podcast, Pro Football Network work as well coming up for you too, Cody. But I guess when we talk about Hackett, what are the things you like about Nathaniel Hackett do you think are big pluses? We've talked about the energy, the Ted Lasso-like enthusiasm that he has, but there has to be more than that, right? There has to be more than just enthusiasm to be a successful coach in the National Football League. What are the things you like about Hackett taking over this job?
Well, you know, you mentioned the enthusiasm. That's part of it, right? But I think for him, he can be a culture builder. You know, the Broncos, I think ideally right now, the locker room, I think they have a really good culture in place already. So I don't think it'll be very hard for him to come in and really keep things going and try to get players to buy into his vision on things. Now, I think the one thing we're all waiting to see is, you know, which part of the staff that, you know, position coaches, you know, is he going to keep on the roster or is he going to, you know, let go of? That's going to be something that's very interesting. I imagine we still might see Christian Parker stay as the DB's coach. But the thing I like about Nathaniel Hackett, Jim, you know, outside of his leadership acumen that he does have there, he's a very smart football mind. He understands the game. He's a coach's son. He grew up, his dad was a coach, so he's always been around the game there. But he's also deemed as a transformational coach. It's not all about transactional. Now, one area I think that's very appealing here, I reached out to Locked On Packers host Peter Bukowski, who covers the Packers on the Packers beat, and he told me a little bit about, even though that Matt LaFleur called the plays for Green Bay, he's very responsible. When we talk about Nathaniel Hackett last year for the Packers being one of the NFL's best red zone offenses in NFL history. So that's an area where the Broncos have really struggled in the last 5 to 6 years in the red zone. I imagine there's going to be some things that he works on there. I think also another interesting thing to note there, it's not just going to be a pass-centric offense, Jim. You know, when he was the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills in 2013, they were second in the NFL in rushing yards. When he was the offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2017, the Jaguars were ranked first in the NFL in rushing yards, and obviously they got to an AFC championship game. So I imagine that there's going to be this dynamic nature of using the run to set up the pass, or they may have a balanced offensive approach. I think a lot of it is dependent upon who is the quarterback. But Nathaniel Hackett's a great guy. He can put together a strong staff, and I think that's what the Broncos are looking forward to seeing him do in the next couple of weeks.
All right, Cody, I know you're busy. Appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in on such short notice, back-to-back days with you. It's always a pleasure, and make sure you check out the Locked On Broncos podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Cody Rourke with us on the program. Thanks, Cody. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's going to be fun.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you, my friend.
Okay, take care. Cody Rourke joining us today. I said spot duty for Cody Rourke. All right. So your thoughts about Nathaniel Hackett being picked as the Broncos' next head coach. You can text or call us, 970-242-1340. Trying to work out getting Robin Brown on from CMU, who's in charge of the football search committee. They have narrowed it down to the five finalists. Well, four that we know. The fifth name remains a mystery man. But it's coaching the RMAC. We know that much. We also know that it's not a coach from the Colorado School of Mines staff. Big Rob got some bad intel this morning. Big Rob, let's be honest.
Bad Rob.
No, it's not bad Rob.
I know, I'm just kidding.
I appreciate Rob sharing the information. Look, it happens. You get bad intel sometimes. Mm-hmm. It just happens to you. So I get it. Don't beat yourself up on it, Big Rob.
All right, let us do that.
He even named his source, at least with, I'm assuming this is the last name. Thanks, Biggs. Me trusting you as a reliable source is finished.
That may be a nickname, too.
I don't know. Could be. Like Deep Throat, you think?
Maybe. Biggs? I don't know.
It got people talking. It did.
Yeah.
It did. Thank you, Big Rob.
Namely, you and I.
Conversation starter. Let's see.
That's about as much show prep as I did this morning for Big Rob, so good work.
Let's see. From AJ this morning. Said, enjoying you all this morning. Thank you. All in, or they'll continue to suck for another 10 years with Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
Turned off abs at 3-1. Ah, crap. I suck. The hit was an accident, not on purpose. The Taylor Hall hit on McKinnon, and it's a miracle the Avs won. Yeah, that's kind of true. All right. But hey, sometimes when you're
rather
that talented,
than good.
Sometimes you're that talented and you have luck on your side.
Can't
that's how, that's how you win 17 straight games at Ball Arena with a combination of talent and some luck. But they put themselves in a bad spot, trying to get the retaliation on Taylor Hall last night. Power play opportunities for the Bruins, but the Avs get the 4-3 win in overtime. Bring in Larry Manchester, Grand Junction Parks and Rec. Good hockey morning. Lover himself.
Yeah.
Watching the Taylor Hall hit, I get it why Avs fans are upset. But you watch it, and it wasn't this big, awful, malicious. They did the right thing by making that a minor, not a major.
Yeah, you know, and go back 15 years and put that hit in perspective. That wouldn't have even been a penalty.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't even. They wouldn't even whistle that. Uh-uh.
They would have said, "Get your butt up the ice and keep skating."
Yeah, get going. Okay, get him off the ice, get him patched up, and yeah, we'll continue on here.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, they just find ways to win at home. Right now, they can have a couple sloppy moments and still pull it out, and it's just great to see that excitement going on and. When they're playing in Colorado, and I don't know if it has to do with the altitude and the other team just wears out or whatever it is, they are finding ways to win.
Magic in the jar right now.
Exactly.
Over Ball Arena. It's been fantastic. Yeah. So what else is fantastic is Grand Junction Parks and Rec. You guys have a lot of cool stuff coming up.
Yeah, right now is a fun time. We're starting to get into our you know, looking to the warmer weather, and we know it's here. But we got some fun indoor stuff going on right now, too. We're getting ready to start our boys' basketball season, starts Saturday. So I know it's probably too late to get registered, but if you're out there and you want to help officiate or just come out and watch, give us a call. We can always use officials, and that's always, you know, a hot topic. But
yeah, shortage of them at the high school level and at the youth level. And so if you
and it starts at the youth level.
Right. And if you have an interest in maybe moving on to coach, you know, to officiate high school sporting events, it's a good way to kind of get your feet wet and see if you like doing this.
Yep. Yeah, youth volleyball starts up next week. Still an outside chance we can get you on a team and get that going. That's a co-ed program, and it's a lot of fun. It plays during the evenings, and it's not a lot of weekend time commitment, so that's good. Adult volleyball starts up. If you haven't got your team registered for that, schedules are getting developed right now and going out. So get your teams registered for that. We've got indoor pickleball going on at the Bookcliff Activity Center and the Lincoln Park Barn. We have got drop-in activities going on at the Bookcliff Activity Center, so you can come play basketball, volleyball, if you don't want to play in an organized league, and just come on out and hang out. One of the other things starting up next week is another session of swimming lessons at the Orchard Mesa Community Center pool. And this is a great opportunity for those kids that have swam all summer or took the little few months off and want to keep those skills sharp, so when they do get back out in the water, or just come out to the pool and hang out and swim. You don't have to do the lessons. It's an opportunity just to keep active throughout the winter months, because it is still pretty chilly outside.
Larry Manchester, Grand Junction Parks and Rec with us. Anything else you want to highlight here, Larry?
Our activity guide is out, and we got a ton of stuff going on in it. And the best thing to do is go to our website, gjparksandrec.org, flip through the activity guide, and see what piques your interest, whether it's golf, whether it's trails, whether it's renting a shelter for an upcoming event for your family. All these things, it's a great opportunity just to see what we have going on. And again, go to our website, gjparksandrec.org, click on the activity guide. If that doesn't work for you, you can always give us a call, 254-3866. We can send a guide out to you. We can talk it over the phone. We can take registrations, or you can come by the park's office at 1340 Gunnison Avenue.
All right, very good. Make sure you check it out. A lot of things for you to do, a lot of things for your kids to do with Grand Junction Parks and Rec. And let's hope that the folks over at Shaw Construction can get things going at Saplesia.
Yeah.
That was a very unfortunate thing. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. That was the number one thing that we're all concerned about. But hopefully they can pick up that pace again after it was a very unfortunate situation.
We'll see.
Yeah. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Larry, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. 823 and Mark Johnson, voice the Buffaloes. He'll have the call tonight on the team. Washington and the University of Colorado Buffaloes, following our full court coverage tonight, we'll have Mark Johnson joining us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. It's time to talk Buffs with CU voice Mark Johnson on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
And joining us from the great state of Washington, where the Buffs will take on the Huskies tonight on the team with pregame at 8:30, Mark Johnson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Jim, good morning.
How are things out in the greater Seattle, Washington area today?
Cloudy. You're not going to be surprised to find out. Cloudy and foggy.
What? Cloudy in Seattle?
What are the odds, huh?
What a shock. One of the easiest gigs in America has to be a weatherman in Seattle, Washington, right? It has to be an easy gig.
Well, we said that same thing about when I lived in Santa Barbara. Every day was sunny at 75. So
it's true.
Yeah, there are areas. Colorado becomes interesting and I think difficult because you never know what's going to happen. Out here, it's kind of the same every day. Down in Southern California, same every day. So yeah, I think that's the gig we all need, doing the weather in a place like that.
No kidding, no doubt about it. Well, the Buffs coming off a couple of really tough home losses to USC and UCLA, but then out in Oregon, taking on a Ducks team that had really been playing some solid basketball. Didn't look good for Colorado the other night on Monday, down by 15 in the first half. But, boy, Tad Boyle's guys pick themselves up by their bootstraps. Jabari Walker has a big game, and they come off with a stunning victory at Matthew Knight Arena with the 82-78 victory. That has to be one of the more signature wins for the Buffs this season. Great win on the road at Eugene, taking down the Ducks.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. In fact, I think it's their best win of the year, period, right now. Well, it's only quad one win. They've got a chance on Sunday for another one, but that's their only quad one win this season, which goes into making their NCAA resume at the end of the season. But, yeah, when they were down 20-5, believe me, I wasn't feeling real confident about it. I thought, well, let's see if they can fight back and make this thing respectable. And, at halftime, I was hoping they could be within 10, and with about 4 or 5 when we hit the intermission. And then came out in the second half. Their defense was fantastic. Relatively, they took care of the basketball. They had big efforts from a number of different players on the team. You mentioned Jabari Walker, but, you know, I thought Keyshawn Bartholomew was very good. I thought Luke O'Brien was very good. And in the minutes he gave it, Evan Batty, that's a big play. So, yeah, great team win, and we're seeing a young team grow up. Now they got to continue that process, obviously, tonight.
Yeah, Tristan DeSilva had a good game, 15 points as well. And one of the areas that helped them get back into that game was what they did from the free throw line, Mark. They went 20 of 22 from the foul line.
Yeah, we got used to that last year when they nearly led the nation in free throw shooting. This year they've been good, not great, and they certainly hit some big foul shots, including the one at the end of the ball game by Evan Batty. And, you know, we had him on our post game, and I said, Evan, when you got the ball in your hands, you didn't even look to pass it. Remember, it was a 3-point game. And he said, oh, no, I wanted that ball in my hands. I wanted to be at the foul line. I missed the first one. And when I asked him about that, he said, well, that's an easy fix. It was short. And so he hit the second one, of course, which gave them a 4-point lead and pretty much sealed that ball game. And no, you felt good for the team. They've been, like I said, they've been solid. They've been 72-73% all season long, which was pretty solid. Just haven't been what they were a year ago. Now, getting 20 out of 22, you take that any single ball game. But that shows offensively, Jim, that they were getting to the free throw line consistently. Now, if you get 22 free throws at home, that's a good number. You get 22 free throws on the road, that's a great number. And so they were aggressive offensively and got to the free throw line against Oregon the other night, and it was part of the reason they won.
Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, joining us today from Seattle. The Buffs take on the Washington Huskies tonight. Last time they faced the Huskies was, of course, in Boulder at CU Event Center. Colorado gets the win against Washington, and that was a watershed moment for Tad Boyle, picking up his 300th win as a Colorado basketball coach in that victory earlier against Washington.
Yeah, it was a good game for Colorado. Washington's an enigma to me because they're a talented basketball team. When you look at the individual pieces, I said to Scott Wilkie, my partner, after the game, we're sitting there chatting as we normally do, and I said, something's not right there. There's too much talent on the individual pieces for them not to be better. Now they've won 3 of 4, and so they're starting to figure things out a little bit. So they're a talented basketball team, and certainly it is a challenge tonight. You know, Brown, their perimeter guy, is the leading scorer in the Pac-12. Buffs did a good job on him, namely Elijah Parkin, that first meeting here a few weeks ago. And so they'll need a similar effort in that regard. But, yeah, make no mistake, Washington's talented. They just haven't put it together consistently this season.
Yeah, you mentioned Terrell Brown, who leads the Pac-12. He's currently 12th in the nation in scoring, almost 21 points per game. And then Emmett Matthews Jr., he's averaging just around 12 points per game, and he's their best three-point shooter with 22 made threes. So another one of those guys that the Buffs have to worry about closing out from the perimeter.
Yeah, you know, that's what they do on the defensive end. They run that Jim Boeheim Syracuse 2-3 zone defense, which Colorado obviously beat them and took care of that game easily, but didn't take care of the ball well against that 2-3 zone defense, which shouldn't be happening. It's not like, you know, it's a in-your-face jumping the passing lanes. They do extend that zone a little bit, but you shouldn't have that many turnovers against a team that plays that style of defense. And that's going to be key for Colorado. And you know, the other thing, against a zone like that, you want to be able to hit the three, which Colorado's been doing very well over the last, four ball games now. Early this season, they did not shoot the ball well from downtown. In fact, at one point they were, I don't know, shooting like 22% when they're away from home or something like that. I can't remember the number from the other night that our staff people gave me, but it was something along those lines. And now the last three ball games, they've been shooting up around 40%. So if they can continue that tonight, I think this is a good shooting building to play in tonight, Alaska Airlines Arena. And so they'll need to do that against that 2-3 zone, which, like I said, poses its own problems, but certainly is not unbeatable.
And for the Buffaloes, they've won 3 of the last 4 against the Washington Huskies. So a stat that bodes well for Colorado. We'll have that game tonight. Mark will have the call pregame at 8:30 tonight on the Team Sports Network. The Buffaloes take on Washington up in Seattle. And, Mark, I do have to mention this, that Darren Cheverini, who was on Carl Durrell's staff, offensive coordinator, assistant head coach. Wasn't that one of the titles he had, too? So, Darren Cheverini applied for the job here in Grand Junction with the Colorado Mesa football team. He has since withdrawn his name to pursue some NFL assistant coaching jobs, but I thought that was kind of interesting that Darren Cheverini showing some interest in our D2 program over here.
Very nice. Well, I know Chev and I talked enough over the years. He's been looking for a head coaching opportunity and was kind of hoping that obviously things would have turned out different and had an opportunity, you know, kind of leaving and departing in the way he wanted to. And so I'm not surprised to hear that, you know, he was looking at that and thinking about, you know, being the head coach of a program would have been a good opportunity for him. But, you know, he's got connections to the National Football League and yeah, I wish nothing but the best for Shep. He's a good, good man, and it's good to land on his feet, obviously. And that would have been kind of interesting if he would have ended up out there.
All right. Hey, Mark, one final thing. Big story this morning. Nathaniel Hackett is the Broncos' new head coach. Got any thoughts on Hackett taking over the Broncos?
Well, I hope it's being made for the right reasons. And, Jim, what I mean by that is hire Nathaniel Hackett because he's Nathaniel Hackett. You know, there's been some speculation, obviously, that if they make that hire, it might be easier to get Aaron Rodgers should there be a trade opportunity with the Green Bay Packers. And I hope that's not the case you're hiring him because, you know, if that works out, phenomenal. You get kind of a Peyton Manning 2.0 that, you know, where you get a great Hall of Fame quarterback late in his career, and maybe he can come in and create the same kind of magic, get you to a couple of Super Bowls, win one. If you don't get him, you still have Nathaniel Hackett as your head coach, and you want to make sure you're making that hire because he is a good head coach. So I hope that's certainly the case, and it's not done for the other reason. My guess would be that the smart people, George Payton and people over there, would not do it for that reason. But I guess time will tell. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing pans out. Anytime you get a first-time head coach like that, you know, you're not sure exactly. I've always said for years the longest 18 inches in the world is going from a top assistant coach to a head coach because everything changes. Now you're the coach of the coach, and you're the face of the franchise, and you're the CEO, and not just a guy that's working with X's and O's. So let's keep our fingers crossed that it's a great hire, and it works out well because I tell you what, here in the state of Colorado, when it comes to NFL football, we deserve some good football. It's been quite a while since we've had good football, and I'm certainly hopeful.
Oh, me as well, Mark. We'll have a great call tonight. Looking forward to hearing it. Buffs in Washington, 8:30 tonight, pregame on the team. Thanks, Mark.
You bet, Jim. See you guys.
All right, take care. Mark Johnson, voice of the Buffaloes, joining us today on the road from Seattle, Washington.
I didn't think Mark would be one of those guys. It's been so long since there's been a winner in Denver, guys.
No, she didn't say anything to him about that.
I had to pick up my eyes. I'm sorry. They rolled right out of my head onto the floor.
It seems like a long time.
6 years. Oh, my God. It's been so long. We deserve to have another winning season.
In Broncos country, it seems like it's been an eternity, all right?
How did you ever manage the first 40 years? How did you even get through without just giving up the sport altogether?
See, and that's where my perspective is different because being a Broncos fan, pretty much the majority of my life.
Don't know how you did it.
Hero. But me being a hero? No.
Yeah.
No,
You did it.
I'm just saying.
37 years.
I know.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying that I remember when they were bad, really bad, like never been to the playoffs bad. And when they got to 500, they got to 500. That's incredible. They made it to the playoffs and they go to the Super Bowl. And how, at that point in time, let's see, I was in seventh grade when they went to the first Super Bowl, lost to the Cowboys. And I'm thinking, man, I never thought we would get to this point. And boy, it'd be great to go again. But if we never go again, at least I got to see them go to the Super Bowl one time. And so I come from that perspective. Anything beyond that was just going to be gravy.
Yeah.
Was just going to be the cherry on top of the whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
That was my perspective because I never thought it would happen.
Lions haven't won a championship since 57, but they can wait. It's been so long since Denver had a winner. They deserve one.
I understand your snark because for some in Broncos country, they deserve that kind of snark.
Yeah.
Be a fan of this team going back, like Howard from Fruita,
mm-hmm.
from day one. When the debacle of the Copper Bowl uniforms and guys just running through like the Max Speedies of the world.
Buffalo, 1965, that's nothing.
Yeah.
6 years. Denver deserves it.
I'm just saying.
I didn't think Mark would be one of those guys.
Keep it in perspective.
I thought Mark would.
We lovingly kid Mark on this thing.
I'm a little sad.
I know. You're a little disappointed with Mark today. All right, Chris Hanks, CMU baseball coach, coming up in just a couple minutes. But let's get into...
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to send you mine, so hopefully I'm not stealing a couple of yours.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out. Okay. Jamar Chase had an interesting comment about Les Miles, former LSU head coach.
Mm-hmm.
that apparently when Les Miles was recruiting Ja'Marr Chase, he told him, and this is from Ja'Marr Chase, Les Miles told me I couldn't play receiver when I was coming out of high school. But Chase is going to give him credit, saying that that made him work harder on his receiver skills because he wanted to prove him wrong. Well, I guess he clearly did, right? All right. Apparently, Wisconsin's athletic director is adding some fuel to the fire regarding the Caleb Williams rumor. Of course, Williams, the quarterback at Oklahoma that's hit the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. A report emerged this week saying that the Badgers were a surprising contender to land Williams as a transfer. And that report came as a surprise to many. One, Wisconsin isn't exactly the program you think of landing spots for big-time passing quarterbacks. Two, Williams has been tied to USC because of Lincoln Riley. But that report is out there right now that somehow, for some reason, Caleb Williams is interested in Wisconsin. Fact or fiction? That he is.
Fiction.
I think it's fiction too. Why? Fiction. Why? Why would you go there if you're Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I don't know really.
Okay, third and fourth down.
Third down. Since August 1st, Nevada and Colorado State are both in the top five of a group of five schools when it comes to transfer portal entries. Nevada is number two. Colorado State is number five. Colorado is tied for most entries into the transfer portal of Power Five teams. Thoughts?
I'm sorry, I was reading my text.
That's fine.
My next guest.
Since August 1st,
thank you.
Nevada and Colorado State are top five, two of the top five teams when group of five schools of transfer portal entries. Kids on their team entering the transfer
portal. Right.
Colorado is tied for most of all Power Five schools
okay.
of transfer portal entries. Kids saying peace out. Thoughts?
Like when we had Mark Johnson with us last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the kid from Alabama that's coming in on the offensive line, you lose some players like Brendan Rice, Christian Gonzalez. You lose some really good players.
Right.
Right. Guys that are all Pac-12 first team caliber guys.
Yeah.
You also lose some guys that aren't probably that going to be that helpful in your program.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should totally freak out if you're Colorado or Colorado fan about it. I think Mark, who's pretty dialed in the program, makes some good points. Yeah, you don't like to see that number, but what are you getting coming back in? That's going to be the thing. Colorado, like the brown kid from Alabama on the offensive line? It's who you get in return for some of those guys.
Right.
That's what I'm more concerned about than how many guys are actually leaving.
Yeah, I agree. It's a nice little stat to have of the, you know, players leaving because it drives talking points. But also, you got to figure some of those other teams, those guys are going to be coming in that are leaving other programs. And so it'll all even out in the wash. It's not like Colorado State are only going to have 35 dudes to run out there.
You know? No, they're not.
Anyway,
they'll be just fine.
Speaking of...
And I'm sorry, I was confirming Chris Hanks is coming on. So.
Your number, more numbers and talk. Super Bowl halftime show is going to be Dre and Snoop and Eminem and Mary J. Blige and Kendrick Lamar on a 10-second delay dump, hopefully, or else FCC finds mm-hmm. out that you know what. One of the professional dancers, Taja Riley, put on Instagram that producers were looking for volunteers. On top of being responsible for their own transportation, the dancers had 8 days of rehearsals totaling 62 hours along with a 9 a.m. call on game day, which doesn't kick off until 4:30, and they were to be paid $0 for all of this.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
SAG-AFTRA got in and said the professional dancers are now going to be paid.
Like professionals.
The unprofessional backup dancers are not. So, there is that, I guess.
But I guess if you're in just volunteering
mm-hmm.
and you're not a professional dancer, okay.
But if they're looking for professional dancers, they should probably, you know,
they're going to have to pay them. They're going to have to pay them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, the agreement was reached after open and frank discussions with SAG-AFTRA.
Okay. Glad they resolved it. Yeah. All right, 8:43. We'll take a break. Chris Hanks, CMU baseball coach, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
They're a lot of fun.
Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, The Team. talking CMU baseball with Mavs skipper Chris Hanks on the team.
And joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team picked to win the RMAC regular season title yet again, looking for a 10th straight RMAC regular season title this season. Chris Hanks. Chris, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. How's the shoulder doing? The last time we talked, seemed like you were on the mend.
Yeah, it's coming around. I'm about 3 weeks in. It's a little tender. I'm going to be in the sling for three more weeks, and then hopefully we'll start getting by it.
Now, this is surgery, you told me. I hope I'm not divulging too much here, that you had from what when you played in the minors back in, 1990, the shoulder injury that you had then, and this is just kind of taking care of all that damage that happened back then.
Yeah, I had Dr. Job, redid my arm back in around 1990, and over the course of time, I guess I tore it up again, and actually a little bit worse than before. So I went up to that clinic in Vail, Stedman Clinic, and I guess they fixed me up. We'll find out.
We'll find out if Skip is 100% again with that shoulder. Chris Hanks joining us today on the Jim Davis Show. Before we talk about your baseball team and this upcoming season, the field issue right now with the crane collapse that happened over at Seplesio, Bergman Field, it's going to be amazing, but it's not quite ready yet. Creates a possibility you guys might have to open the season at Canyon View. This is just not the kind of thing that you want to start out the season having to deal with of where you're going to be playing when you first hit the field in a game that counts on the 17th of February.
Yeah, it's been a tough go, I'll tell you. And, you know, this crane accident over there just threw another, you know, wrench into things. So, yeah, there's a good chance we'll have to open up out at Canyon View. And, you know, it's been a tough go. We're getting a very nice facility, and, of course, we're grateful. We've been in the process of redoing the field. We've been without bullpen mounds since August. Yeah, we've been throwing off of indoor mounds since August. Even today, our guys will throw off indoor mounds. We're still a week or so away, maybe two, from having all our new bullpens built and finished. So there's been some things that have challenged us, but I think this is a pretty resilient group. They haven't complained much at all. And, you know, on the other side of it, when it's all finished, we're going to have some top-notch first-class facilities.
I know my understanding from what you told the local paper that Dave Detweiler, who I know Dave from his FCI days, who's in charge of construction over at CMU, trying to really expedite things, move things along at Bergman Field to maybe get that into a situation where you guys can actually play there. It's going to be tough up against a really difficult timeline, but maybe possibly at least have a chance to, if it's not that first weekend, maybe the following weekend, have a chance to play at Bergman Field.
Yeah, Dave Dewa is a great man, and he's a real asset to our university. He's doing a great job. He's hustling. You know, everybody's working hard. And, with this crane accident, you know, they're making a last-minute push here to at least get Bergman Field playable. Now, you know, the stands won't be done, things like that, but they're rushing to finish the dugouts, and we got to get the left field wall reconstructed. We got to get the bullpens done. We got to get the backstop netting up. There are various things. I don't know. I think it's a stretch to think we'll make it, but I tell you, they've been working hard the last week since that happened. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Chris Hanks, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks baseball team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Mentioned that you're the RMAC preseason favorites yet again. Also, number two in the, number three in the national rankings, Chris, the preseason D2 rankings as well. And look, you're loaded with talent once again. Hayden McGeary comes back. Caleb Farmer, these guys that were big offensive players for you in this past season for this Maverick baseball team, particularly with Hayden McGeary returning. It's another solid lineup that you roll out for this season.
Well, it should be, you know, and if the guys take care of business and continue being focused and working hard, then we'll have a really good year, I think. As a coach, you hope that they don't believe the press and, nothing softens them up a little bit. But our job is to make sure they don't get softened. So we have a great group of kids. There'll be a fun group of kids to watch. and we're looking forward to the year starting.
Chris Hanks, CMU baseball coach, with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And, I mean, you would think it'd just be enough for Chris Hanks, rehabbing a shoulder, getting ready to coach a baseball team, the expectations that you always have for your Maverick baseball team, but you also are on the football search committee as well over at CMU. And I know you're down to your five finalists. I know we won't talk about specific candidates necessarily because you're not allowed to do that, but just you know, in sifting through some of the names, like Darren Shiverini that was over at Colorado that applied and then withdrew, that 100 applicants for this, I think you have to be in the search committee pleased with the quality of applicants that you had for this job.
Yeah, there was good quality, you know, and a lot of people with local ties, you know, and those are the hard ones for me because there are some really great people that want to be a part of this program in a coaching sense. You know, they either grew up here or they coached here or they played here, and it's a real difficult thing. You know, there's a lot of splitting hairs. There's a lot of people on the committee, and then you bring in the president and the athletic director, and you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. But I think there are five good candidates that come on campus beginning today. I think we have some men in there that will be good. And, you know, of course, no matter who you hire, only time will tell. But we have vetted a lot of people. We've made a million phone calls. We've double and triple checked. And, you know, you think you got it whittled down. But I will tell you, there's probably 5 to 10 guys that were left out that, for all intents and purposes, have every right to be in this group of five.
Well, Chris, before I let you go, I know you got a meeting coming up at 9. Buckeye, you have a suggestion for Chris about playing over at Saplesia. You want to offer up your suggestion to Coach Hanks?
I just figure, you know, all sorts of baseball fields have different dimensions. Putting the crane in shallow left while they work on the field would be an interesting little ground rule. Maybe if it hits above the operator, it's a ground rule double.
Yeah, you know, well, that's the beautiful thing about baseball, right? All dimensions are unique, so I'll take your idea to the powers to be, and we'll see if, you know, I'm okay with it.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there's maybe a potential liability
Buckeye
issue
Boy
there.
Memorial crane in left
well,
center?
Well, you're not dead. It can't be a memorial. You're not dead.
Who says I have to be dead?
Well, you have to use it. It'd just be the Buckeye Boy crane. It wouldn't be memorial. Well, you're not dead yet, anyway. Still an hour of the show to do. Still an hour of the show coming up, so we'll see what happens. But, well, Chris, thanks. Continued good luck on your shoulder rehab, and thanks for joining us. We'll be talking to you more down the road.
Thanks, guys. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Chris Hanks joining us this morning.
Yeah, I'm not dead, but I'm closer than I was yesterday.
We all are. That's how life kind of works. We're all a day closer to that. Yeah. All right, so we hope to have Robin Brown from CMU on with us this next hour. Also, Mary Doan, the head girls basketball coach at Central. They have now won 10 straight games. They have Eagle Valley tonight. We have, of course, full court coverage tonight, and it starts at 5 o'clock. I'll be out at Palisade for Palisade and Rifle, and then Matt Kennedy is going to be over at Central High School. To bring you Central and Eagle Valley with full court coverage. And then 8:30 tonight, we'll have the Buffs taking on Washington on the hardwood here on the team. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 3 Plus. Who is it coming up next hour? That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.